I'd like to ask you to turn, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. The last part of verse 30. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. What I want to speak on today is not primarily a gospel evangelistic message, but I would like to consider a wake-up call to evangelize. Are we really involved in evangelism? Are we really involved in winning souls? Now, this verse says that he that winneth souls is wise. It has been said that the assemblies that we identify with are strong in teaching, but weak in evangelism. Do you agree with that critique? Strong in teaching, but weak in evangelism. There are statistics that among the brethren assemblies, there are more assemblies closing their doors than are establishing new assemblies. That's sad, isn't it? It's a fact. It's a fact. More assemblies are closing their doors and fewer assemblies are being established, in spite of the fact that there is a population explosion in the world. It should go the other way. And there are certain religious groups, and some of them are cults. They're prospering. They're increasing. They're establishing new work. Should we be challenged? There's a group of men, Jim announced it this morning, Good News on the Move, that have been exercised about this very thing. They've traveled through the southern states and now they are moving into the northern states. I think this week they're going to be in Chippewa Falls. Been in Minot, North Dakota, spending a week in those places, evangelizing, knocking on doors, handing out tracts, holding Bible studies, talking with people concerning salvation. Wouldn't it be nice if they parked here for 4 or 5 years and carried it on every week? I think the purpose of this fellowship, the purpose of this good news bus is to prime the Christians to get involved. I think that's the reason. That's the reason that they are on the move. And I would like today to speak on the subject of a wake-up call to evangelize. this verse that we read in Proverbs says that it is wise to win souls, speaking to believers now. It is wise to win souls. And of course, we'd ask the question, why? Why is it wise to win souls? I'd like to suggest 3 reasons, and then you can add 10 more. Number 1 is because it's obedient to the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's a good enough reason, isn't it? Obedience to the commission. The second reason, to rescue the perishing. Do you realize, beloved, that the precious souls that die in their sins without a Savior are going to be in hell for all eternity? Isn't it a good reason? Isn't it wise to win souls, to rescue precious souls from a lost eternity? 3, a reward. God's going to reward. That's up to God. And like I said, you add 10 more points to that. Why it is wise to win souls. Is your assembly growing? Is it growing spiritually and numerically? When an assembly grows spiritually, it is going to grow numerically. Do you believe that? When it grows spiritually, it's going to grow numerically. But it's going to grow through new converts. How many new converts do we have in this assembly? You know, frankly, I don't think we can count the children of Christian families. I don't think we can count them. Tell you why. That evangelism is carried on in the home, not as an effort of the assembly. It's the parents' responsibility to win their children to the Lord. The Sunday school teachers, thank God for Sunday school teachers, faithful. Their commission is not to win children from Christian homes to the Lord. They haven't been commissioned to that. As a parent, you have been commissioned to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's the parents. We're not going to count the children converts. We're going to count the new converts from out there, from the world, from the community. You know, when an assembly is built up with church hoppers, you know what I mean by church hoppers? Dissidents. Frustrated Christians. Looking for the perfect church. Church hoppers. They keep jumping around from one church to another church and never satisfied because they haven't found the perfect church. Don't build your assembly with that material because they're not going to stay very long. They're not permanent. They're dissidents. They're unhappy campers. They weren't satisfied with the last fellowship, and you can be sure that they're not going to be satisfied with this fellowship either. The assembly has to be built up with new converts so that from square one you can teach them the truths of the Word of God. Then you're going to have a solid assembly. New converts. How do you recognize a new convert? What are the qualifications for a new convert? Number one, there has to be a clear conversion testimony. A time when they repented of their sin and they received the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. That's step number one. Step number two, baptized. Don't forget the baptism. In the book of Acts, they believed and they were baptized. They believed and they were baptized. How do we identify new converts? A clear conversion testimony. They are baptized. They're committed. Committed to God. They're committed to the Word of God. They're committed to the assembly of God. Those are the qualifications, beloved, of a new convert. And they are bearing fruit for God. If there's no fruit, no fruit? What do? I tell you what you do when there's no fruit. You share the gospel. Don't let them think that because when 20 years ago when the teacher said, everybody who wants to get saved, raise your hand, and I raised my hand, and then I've been living in sin for 20 years. No fruit. That's not a new convert, beloved. He needs the gospel. Someone has suggested that there are two synonyms for evangelism, and that both of the synonyms require involvement on the part of the Christian. Two synonyms. One is soul. And the other is fish, fishing. Those are the two synonyms related to evangelism. Sowing the seed of the Word of God. Sowing the seed of the gospel. That's our responsibility. It requires human involvement to sow the seed. Now, it's the Spirit of God that gives life, but it's human beings that sow the seed. And fishing, that's another synonym for evangelism. And the sensible thing to do in fishing is to go where the fish are. Don't expect the fish to jump into the boat because they're not going to do it. It's our responsibility. And beloved, I'm speaking to my own heart because it's a subject that is very dear to me and I realize that I'm not what I should be. The two synonyms that relate to evangelism require involvement, the word go. Go and see, sow the seed, or go and fish for men and women for God. You know, in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, we have the local church. The seven churches of Asia are presented in Revelation chapter 1. And the local church is viewed as a lampstand. What's a lampstand for? The local church is viewed as a lampstand. It is to illuminate the glories of our risen Christ in a dark world. You read the first two chapters of the book of Revelation, and I think that's what you're going to find. A lampstand is to illuminate the glories of our risen Christ in this dark world. Carnal Christians and a carnal assembly is not going to be a very good reflector of the light. Do you believe that? Spiritual Christians are reflectors of the light. When Paul wrote the epistle to the Philippians, he touched the subject of evangelism. He spoke about fellowship in the gospel. What did he mean by fellowship in the gospel? Well, if you study that passage of scripture, you'll find that he was referring to financial contribution that the Philippians gave so that the gospel could go forth. You know, it costs money to evangelize. Whether it's buying tracts or whatever the expense is. And the Philippian Christians were involved in the financial contribution so that they could have fellowship in the gospel. Then Paul mentions in chapter 1, strive together for the faith of the gospel. He didn't say strive with each other, but strive together for the faith of the gospel. I think Nehemiah is a very good example. The book of Nehemiah, where the co-workers demonstrated united effort. They all worked together. Nehemiah could not have rebuilt those walls by himself. He needed the co-workers to be involved, and they all worked together. And in 54 days, they accomplished that tremendous task. Why? Because they knew what it was to work together. And then Paul mentions in chapter 2, holding forth the word of life. That's what we are to do as Christians, holding forth the word of life. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, he mentioned, the word of the Lord has sounded forth. What did he mean? You study that chapter and you find that he is referring to the reputation of the Christians in the church of Thessalonica. He says, the word of the Lord was sounded forth because everybody has heard about the changed life of you folks in Thessalonica. Consider some modern methods and movements in Christendom that hinder the gospel. Friendship evangelism is a popular one in Christendom. Friendship evangelism. I tell you what friendship evangelism is. Preach what they like to hear, not what they need to hear. Never talk about sin, never talk about hell. Pat them on the back. That's the friendship gospel. Beloved, you'll never have new converts through that message. I read about an assembly that had about 50 Christians in that assembly. And they jumped from 50 to 500 in 2 years' time. Someone asked one of the elders of that assembly, how many new converts do you have out of that 400 or 350 in 2 years? He said about 20. 20 new converts in an assembly that advanced to 400 people. I'm afraid there's a lot of church hoppers in there. I'm afraid there's a lot of dissidents there. A lot of unhappy campers there. I am uncomfortable when I am placed in a situation where I am not free to preach the whole counsel of God. Aren't you? Aren't you uncomfortable? We're called upon to preach the whole counsel of God. And if we are restricted, if there is some doctrine, I know that these people would be unhappy if I touched that doctrine. So what do? I forget it. I'm uncomfortable with that. We are called to preach the whole counsel of God, beloved. There is the synthetic gospel. That gospel says, why don't you try Jesus? He satisfies. I think you'll like him. That's a synthetic gospel. You know, trust the Lord Jesus and you'll never get sick again. Isn't that wonderful? But it's a false gospel. Or trust the Lord Jesus and your bank account will grow and you'll have all the money that you'll ever need. That's a false gospel. But they're preaching it. Speaking of methods, there's nothing wrong with methods. The Lord Jesus used different methods each time he witnessed to somebody. A different method. But the same message, wasn't it? Whether it was to Nicodemus, that Pharisee, you must be born again, Nicodemus, with all of your religion, with all of your good works, you can't go to heaven the way you are, you need to be born again. The woman at the well in John chapter 4, an adulterous woman, the method that he used, you're thirsty, drink of the living water whereby you'll never thirst again. You'll find each time that the Lord Jesus witnessed, he used a different method, but the same message, the same gospel. Traditionalism, addicted to ancient methods, that may or may not work today. That's a problem. 50, 60 years ago, tent meetings were successful. I never had the opportunity to be involved in a tent meeting, but I know they were successful. I know that souls were saved. I know that assemblies were established as a result of tent meetings. They don't seem to work today. They don't seem to work today. Open air. I've had a lot of experience in open air work. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Or preaching the gospel on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock is the gospel meeting. And we've had gospel meetings for 40 years, and sorry to say that we've never seen anyone saved. In fact, we haven't even seen any unsaved people come to the meeting. I think we need to change the method, don't we? Faithfulness to ancient methods, it does not necessarily mean we're spiritual. You see, culture will determine the methods that we will use to proclaim the gospel. Okay, the method that these brethren are using in this Good News bus, they didn't use that 60 years ago. Yeah, they did too, I guess. But they're using methods that are different today than they used 50 years ago. I'm used to the Philippine Islands. You excuse me for bringing the Philippine Islands in. That's where my heart is. The Philippines is very different from the United States. The methods that we used in the Philippines is very different than what you use in the United States. I'm aware of this. But method is not a important factor. Are they getting the gospel? Are they repenting of their sin? Are they getting saved by the grace of God? In the Philippines, one of the common ways is tract distribution. Of course, tract distribution is popular here in the States too. But you know, in the Philippines, we can go into a village with a bundle of tracts and hand out tracts to the people, and within 15 minutes, we've got 15 to 25 people standing around, reaching for a tract and asking, "What is that?" That's what we wanted them to ask. So we tell them. And then someone says, "Well, that sounds good. Would you be willing to come tomorrow night to my house and hold a Bible study? And I'll have my neighbors and my relatives so that they can hear this gospel too. Would we be willing to come?" We sure would. Bible study gets started in the home. Sinners get saved by the grace of God. Children's meetings. That's one of the prominent methods of evangelism in the Philippines. Children's meetings, not Sunday school. Very few of the assemblies have Sunday school. Children's meetings. Mostly conducted by girls. Thank God for those girls committed. They stand out at the gate of the public school, and when the kids get out of school, the girls wave them on to the nearest mango tree for the shade. And then the teacher tells the kids, "In 15 minutes, we're going to have a class. We're going to tell you about the Savior. You go and see how many of your buddies you can bring back for this children's meeting." And they come back with hordes of kids. And the girls set up their easels and tell a story of the gospel to a bunch of kids. And you know what's beautiful? To see mom and dad hiding behind the mango tree listening. I tell you, that's beautiful. But this is the commencement of another assembly. Number 3, the lack of passion for souls is a problem. If we are not involved as an assembly reaching out to the community with the gospel, it's because of commitment. There is a lack of passion. You know, the content of our prayer meetings of the assembly pretty well reveal the passion that we have for the lost. The only reason we come to the prayer meeting is to find out who is sick. Or the only reason we come to the prayer meeting to find out who is unemployed. Beloved, we've got to get the names of men and women and boys and girls that have been witnessed to, that need the gospel. Complacency. That's a horrible condition to be in, beloved. And I'm speaking to my own heart. Comfortable with the way things are going. That's complacency. In other words, don't wake me up. I'm enjoying my sleep. Number four, isolationism is a problem. To isolate ourselves from the lost. Kind of an evangelical monastery. You see, separation is biblical, but separation is not isolation. We are in the world for a purpose. And God leaves us here for a purpose. You know why? The precious souls that need the gospel, and we are the only ones qualified to share the gospel with them. Separation is not isolation. You can have unsaved friends and not be worldly. Do you believe that? We need unsaved friends in order to talk to them about the Savior. Number five, discouragement is a problem. You see, when we are discouraged, oh, it's been so many years since we've had new converts. When we become discouraged, the enemy has won a victory. There's no reason for discouragement. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice, and I believe that if we are in the right spiritual condition, we will be able to rejoice. You know, we find excuses. We haven't seen souls saved for such a long time. You know, it's the last days. Don't blame the last days. I think we should blame ourselves. Because if there is a time that sinners need the Savior, it's in the last days. The days that we're living in now. Number six, some practical suggestions for evangelism. Our neighbors and our visitors that happen to visit the assembly, they need to see God's love in action. It's possible to develop practical expressions of Christian love. Probably one of the most beautiful expressions of Christian love is hospitality, friendliness. How about an organized visitation program? Do you think that would work in the States? It certainly works in the Philippines. We have organized visitation programs. Normally, the visitation is left to the elders, isn't it? I mean, isn't that what it's supposed to be? The elders are supposed to be the ones to visit? Not so in the Philippines. Many of the elders are working away from home and don't have the opportunity to do a lot of visitation work. Would you believe that our sisters are the most active visitors in our assembly? Now, they're not preachers, but they're visitors. They're representing the assembly. Someone is sick, and they go and visit. And they convince the sick person, these people love us. I've got to check them out. Young people. We like to get the young people involved in visitation program because they can reach their own people better than adults can. And the children, as I mentioned before, the teacher tells the children to go and get all of your buddies and bring them back. It works. It works in the Philippines. Frankly, I think it would probably work here too. A word spoken by the bedside, fireside, roadside, seaside, seaside. Develop a visitor-friendly attitude. Let your Christian love show through. I think it's reasonable to consider new methods. I'm not a Methodist, but I'm not against methods if it's for the glory of God. I believe that when the people of God are taught and committed, they will be actively involved in evangelism. Let me go through that again. I believe when the people of God are taught and committed, don't forget the commitment. But when they are taught the responsibility to go into the world and to preach the gospel, and there is a spiritual commitment associated with that teaching, I believe that they're going to be evangelists. They're going to evangelize. I know a brother that has strong feelings against using the assembly building for evangelism. He has strong feelings against it. I don't share that. I believe that if God has given us a suitable building like you folks have here in BBC, I believe that if you can use it for evangelism, by all means do it. Whether it's a evangelistic campaign, whether it's DVBS, don't we use the building for evangelism in our DVBS? Are we, and I'm speaking to my own heart, really committed to evangelism? Are we enthusiastic in our life and in our testimony? Read the book of Acts. I tell you, you can get some inspiration there. The book of Acts, the early church. What do you learn in the book of Acts? They went everywhere preaching the gospel. They got saved, they were baptized, and they witnessed to everybody that would stand still long enough to listen. That's what we get in the book of Acts. And I think the woman of Samaria is an outstanding example of this very thing. What did she do the moment she drank of the living water from the Lord Jesus Christ? What did she do? She dropped her water pot, forgot all about her H2O, and she went back to the city and she evangelized. She told the folks about the Savior. That's what evangelism is all about. Come see a man. That was all the theology that that dear woman had. And that's all she needed. And the whole city responded. Father, we thank Thee for the subject of evangelism. I speak to my own heart. I know that I'm not involved the way I should be, the way I used to be. I confess this. I pray that You'd give me a burden for precious souls. And whatever method that we use, that it will be to reach the lost. Snatch the lost from an eternal hell to see them saved by the grace of God. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.